All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. I kind of went back in my mind and thought of, as I looked at the first half of this chapter, I thought about all the different sermons that I have preached from the first part of this chapter where Jesus is meeting with Nicodemus. And I've preached on just about every verse in there somewhere along the way. But then I was thinking, I don't know how many times I have referenced in a message, verse 36, but I want to speak to you this morning primarily from verse 36. So if you'll look at that, the last verse in the chapter, and we read these words. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, and verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." All right, now let that sink in. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The second part, and he that believeth, what's the next word? Not. The Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. All right, now notice this. He that believeth and he that believeth not. So there's only one of two ways that you can accept and believe. Either you trust Christ to get you to heaven, or you don't. And by the way, there's no other way other than Christ. All right, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. All right, so I'm going to entitle my message this morning, Two Ways. Two Ways. Let's pray together and then the message. Father, thank you so much for your blessing. Thank you for meeting with us when we gather in this building. And Father, we are grateful for all of your many blessings to us. Thank you, Father, for this good crowd today and for the good spirit today. And I pray that you will bless as we have gathered. I ask you, Father, to fill me with your spirit and help me and enable me as I speak. But Father, I also want to pray that you'll give each and every one of us spiritual ears, that we might hear what the Spirit saith to the church. So, Father, bless the message, touch our hearts with it. And, Father, if there is even one person in this room that is not 100% sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that today will be the day when they realize their need for the Lord Jesus. Only two ways a person can go, and that's to believe or not to believe. And so I ask you to touch our hearts with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. My text verse this morning is at the tail end of a very long discussion that Jesus had with a fellow by the name of Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was, we are told in the first verse, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Now, there were a lot of rabbis. There were a lot of lawyers. That when I say lawyer, I don't mean one who went to trial and tried to get somebody off or tried to convict somebody. That's not a Bible lawyer. A lawyer in the New Testament was scholar who his focus was the law of Moses. All right, he interpreted everything through the law of Moses. And there were many of these. Then there were, of course, Pharisees. There were Sadducees. These men were the liberals of their day. They didn't believe in anything, all right? They didn't believe in anything, just que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. That was their mindset. There was no right, there was no wrong. It was just, they didn't believe anything in the Bible, all right? They didn't believe the resurrection. They didn't believe that Jesus was virgin born. They just didn't believe any of it, none of it. They were the liberals of their day. Now, in verse 1, we are told that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. We also know that he was a Pharisee, according to verse 1. But as when it states here that he was a ruler of the Jews, what that means is Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was the ruling body in Judaism. They were the ones who got their minds together and determined what was true and what was not true and what was law and what was not law. They were the deciding factor in all things Judaism. All right, so you had all these different groups within the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, much like their Knesset is set up today over in Israel. And so that was Nicodemus's position. He was a ruler of the Jews, which meant that he was on the voting board of the Sanhedrin. Now, some of the most wonderful verses in our Bibles are found in this third chapter of John's Gospel, and probably the most familiar verse in all the Bible. If you look at John 3:16, everybody knows that verse. That's the first verse you learn when you go to Sunday school as a child. And so this is a familiar passage, but notice, please, that 36th verse, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him." Now, for my message this morning, I want us to focus on this 36th verse. This is a powerful little verse that shows us a very important and crucial truth about the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. This simple little truth is seen really all through the Bible. You can see this all through the Bible, both Old and New Testaments. But right here in the 36th verse, this principle is stated very, very clearly. So what is that basic Bible principle that we see in this 36th verse? Well, it is the truth. Now listen carefully. It is the truth that folks only have two choices so far as your eternity is concerned. You got one choice, which is to believe God and His Word as it tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or your second option is to not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may decide that I'm not believing in Christ per se, but I'm trusting in my works. I'm trusting in my innate goodness. Well, let me just stop you right there. Sorry, you don't have any. All right? Sorry about that, but that's what the Bible says. There is none righteous, no, not one. All right? So, sorry about that, but that's just the way it is. And so people will say, go over those two ways again. Okay, it's real simple. Believe in the Son, and then believe not in the Son. Now, here's the thing. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have life. Now, you need to look at all the previous verses here to understand what kind of life the Lord Jesus is speaking of. If you'll look at verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, you see it? It's right there, clear as a bell, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what does that mean? What does everlasting life mean? Well, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth, verse 18, on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the bottom line is, folks, and I hope you see this, I hope you understand this, is the fact that there is only one of two ways, and every man must choose, every woman must choose, every teenager must choose which way you're going to go. Which path are you going to walk down? So there's believing and there's not believing. Let me look here. There's heaven and there's hell. Look here, there's life and there's death. And I'm not talking about a physical death, a spiritual death, eternal separation from God. All right, so that's what this verse says. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, this sure seems a little unfair. I don't think so. You see, God is the one who created mankind. And God is the one whom man chose to disobey and sin against. And so God is the one who sets the perimeters to have himself and man reconciled. God's the one that said this. Folks, you will not see my name anywhere in the third chapter. All right? I did not write this. This was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, and John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned it. And this has been in our Bibles since the first century when the New Testament was written. All right, so don't go out of here and say, well, that preacher said, no, blame God. God's the one that said it. Well, God said, yes, he did. And he doesn't apologize for it, because we are the ones who sinned against him. So only two ways, only two paths are available. There is believe and there's unbelief. There is heaven or there is hell. And notice, folks, there is no gray area here. All right? You can't say, well, I'm just going to straddle the fence. No, there's no area for the unconcerned. You know? I've had folks tell me through the years, they'll say something like, well, I'm not going to think about that right now. Well, when are you going to think about it? Well, I don't know, maybe one of these days. And what most folks do is they fool around and they don't deal with it at all. So one of two ways. Now, let me show you this from the Bible. I told you it's this principle is all through the scripture. So let me show you this through a couple of passages of scripture. All right, do you remember when Joshua was on his deathbed? And we are told that he called his family in and the elders, and he said to them, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And the amazing thing is, Joshua only gave them one of two choices. He said, choose you this day, either the gods, small g, plural, the gods of the Amorites, or the Lord. One of two options. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right, so he was determined. So there it is. One of two choices that we have. You might remember Elijah in 1 Kings 18 when he was on the Mount Carmel. And the Bible says that there were all these hundreds of the prophets of Baal. And they came to confront Elijah, and Elijah said, all right, he said, here's what we're going to do. He said, you guys build an altar and you pray to your God, you pray to Baal, and then I'll build an altar and I'll pray to my God, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, and the God that delivers with fire, let him be God. And so they all began to stack up stones and make an altar, and they jumped up on it and carried on and got through holy fits and all that business and were running around all over the place and speaking in tongues and everything else. Nothing. There was no fire that came out of heaven. Nothing. And Elijah just sat over there, leaned against a rock probably, and said, hey, won't you guys get a little louder? Maybe your God's on vacation. He can't hear you. So maybe you ought to get a little bit louder. And then they jumped up on their altar and they started cutting themselves and letting the blood drip upon the altar, hoping to get some kind of pity out of Baal. But nothing happened. I can imagine the devil was standing there thinking to himself, man, if I could just slip past one of these angels here, I could light that thing on fire. God said, don't touch it. Don't touch it. That's in the Hebrew. See, y'all ought to be thankful that you have a pastor who knows so much. Amen. Or at least I can make it up. And so finally Elijah said, all right, my turn. And he stood up and he said, pour all the water on it. Remember that? They were in a 3.5-year drought. Pour all the water on it. What? Pour the water on it. And then when they poured water, he said, do it again. He knew they had some stashed somewhere. So they went and got the other water, poured it on. Now do it a third time. And you say, why didn't he have them do it a fourth time? I think probably because they ran out of water. That would be my guess. And then Elijah just bowed his head and he said, Lord, show these people who's God. Bang. That fire came out of heaven and consumed the altar, licked up all the water. I mean, it was evident who was God. But notice, if Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if God be God, then serve God. One of two ways. That was it. That was it. There was not a third option. No, not a one. You remember the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He said there are only two roads that a person can travel. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said these words, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." So there's only, Jesus said, one of two ways you can go. You can either go down the straight and narrow path that leads to life, or you can go down the broad way that leads to destruction. Not a third option. Not a third option. All right? So let's look at these two ways here this morning and make sure that we choose the right way to get us to heaven. Two ways. Number one, there is the way to heaven. That's what the first part of this verse discusses with us. The way to heaven. Look at verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Now, this little verse is telling us how one gets on the way that leads to heaven. This verse is telling us how a person gets on the road that leads them to heaven. It's pretty simple. Everybody says, boy, salvation is so complicated. No, it's not. It's quite simple. If you ask me first, I want you to notice the faith in the way. The faith in the way. Faith is the gospel way. You see the little word believeth? What does that take in order for us to believe? It takes faith. You weren't there when Jesus died on the cross, and I wasn't either. None of us were there. You say, well, then how do we know it happened? The Bible tells us so. So I wasn't there. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I can believe what the Bible tells me about it, and that takes faith on my part. And by the way, faith is real important to God. In Ephesians 2:8, Paul said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, if I reached in my pocket and I pulled out a $20 bill and I said, "I'm going to give this away. I'm going to give this $20 away." And I look over at Pastor Ray and I say, you look pitiful. A little puny. So I'm going to give you this $20. Now, I could talk about that till I was blue in the face. But until Pastor Ray comes up and physically takes the money out of my hand, I offer it to him and he takes it. It's not his. I could tell him it's his, but it's not. He's got to receive it. And that's exactly the way it is with salvation. It must be received. How do you do that? By faith. That's how you do it. We receive it by faith. What is faith? Well, faith is simply believing in what God says. God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's just believing God. That's what I did when I got saved. I just called upon the name of the Lord and asked him to save me. And you know what he did? He saved me. He didn't say, now you need to fill out this form. No, he just saved me. Amen. Faith. Faith. It's just, I wasn't there to see him buried. Were you? No. I wasn't there to see him buried in that borrowed tomb, and I did not see him 3 days later resurrect from the grave. However, the Bible tells me that he did die on that cross, and it tells me that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and then on the third day, he resurrected from the dead. Folks, it takes faith on our part to accept what God said is true. Now, this means, all right, now listen carefully. It's going to help some of you. This means that there is no place for works in the matter of salvation. No matter how hard you labor, you're always going to be short. You'll never get to heaven on your own. You must believe in the name of the Lord. It's just that simple. It takes faith on our part. And Paul says that salvation is a gift and is not of works. So that means you cannot get to heaven by baptism. That means you cannot get to heaven by church membership. I've had folks tell me, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, whoop-de-doo. Are you a saved Baptist? Oh, well, I'm a Presbyterian, but are you a saved Presbyterian? You know? I mean, it's not that complicated. It really isn't. But we make it complicated, don't we? You can't get saved by giving to the ministry or by any of your efforts to get to heaven. I've had folks tell me that they hope they're going to heaven, and then I will ask them, well, why do you hope you're going? And they'll say, well, you know, I was baptized. I was baptized. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm trying to be truthful and get you to understand that you can get baptized in every church baptistry in Carroll County. And you can get baptized in every creek in Carroll County. You can get baptized in every pond, every river, every lake. I mean, you can be sprinkled, dipped, dunked, baptized, face forward, or three times face forward, or dunked in running water, hoping that all your sins wash down the river and you can become sanitized and harmonized and homogenized and all the rest of it, and wax to a turtle shell shine. But if you have not been saved by the grace of God, as you believe in the God of the gospel, then my dear friend, you're lost. So that's the faith in the way. Notice, secondly, the facts for the way. Jesus said, believeth on the Son. Right there's the facts. I mean, you break that sentence down, right there's the key. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Son is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus is the central theme in this matter of salvation. Jesus is the one who paved the way for man to go to heaven. I mean, with what he did for us 2,000 years ago, he made the way. I just thought of a story. years ago when we were at Dixie, in Dixie, West Virginia, Bell Creek Baptist Church, there was a Pentecostal preacher, and he was a full-blown works to get to heaven preacher. And he was boisterous, loud, and he just want to argue with me. He would just, every time he saw me, he tried to strike up an argument. And it was a Monday morning, and I walked into the bank to deposit my check in the bank. And when I walked in, there was a little table, and you stopped there and filled out the little thing to put it in the bank with. And when I walked in, I noticed him standing. He had his back to me. And it was probably about as far away, maybe as far away from here to Jack, maybe right over there. And just a big open space. And he was the only one there. I was the only one here. But three or four of the tellers and people who worked in the bank were all members of our church. And so when I walked in, I was filling out the thing, and then he turned around evidently and spotted me. And as loud as he could do it, he goes, "Well, there's that little Baptist preacher." And I turned around and I said, "Yep, that's me." And he looked at me and he said, "Well, let me ask you a question there, preacher." He said, "Do you believe in works for salvation?" And I smiled real big and I said, "I sure do." Man, he stood up. "What?" I said, "I sure do." And he said, "Well," and he just made a beeline towards me and he had his hand out and he goes, "Well, put her there, buddy." So I shook hands with him. And I said, right in his face, "I believe in Jesus' work." And then it was on. He was trying to get loose from me, and I held on for dear life. I was not about to let him get loose. And everybody in there was looking at us, and he said, "I knew you were going to say that." I said, "You know why I said that? Why? Bible says that." Amen. And it does, folks. There's no other way. Amen. Jesus is the only way. Those are the facts. Now, if you take Jesus out of the way, his death, his burial, his resurrection, then you have no other guarantee of ever getting to heaven. You know, I've said this before. I would hate to think that my eternity is based on a foot race with the devil from here to the pearly gates. I'm glad it's not. I know that I'm going to heaven. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Because my faith. I'm right on the facts. The facts are, you got to go through Christ. All right, then secondly, I said, first of all, this verse shows us how to get to heaven. But then secondly, this verse also shows us the way a person gets to hell. And I've said this to you before. I've never had anybody tell me, "Oh, I want to go to hell when I die." Nobody's ever told me that. I don't think anybody wants to go there. I know I don't. I don't want to go there. You see, Jesus speaks of the way to heaven in the first part of the verse, but then in the second half of the verse, we see Jesus telling us how a person gets to hell. We get to heaven by believing in God's Son. And those who refuse to believe for whatever reason are the ones who have to go to hell. For whatever reason. I've seen folks, you know, that they won't believe in Jesus because they're all hung up on works. They won't believe in Jesus because somehow or another they think that they're good enough in and of themselves that they don't need to be born again. But the Bible says we do. What did Billy Sunday used to say, that hell is paved with the best of intentions. And boy, that's true, isn't it? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, look carefully at verse 36, the second part. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, in a nutshell, all you have to do to be a first-class candidate for hell is to simply not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. Just don't believe. You can reject him by being defiant about it, or you can reject him by simply doing nothing to make sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. You can reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do all of that, and you're a first-class candidate for hell. Earlier in this chapter, Nicodemus told us that he could not see the kingdom of heaven. Or Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born again. Rejecting Christ, folks, rejecting Christ is hard on the eyesight. Yep. You must be born again. Look at verse 3 of chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again. You have a little 2 in your Bible, if you have a Cambridge Bible. And that little 2 over in the margin has the King James translator's notes. And the King James translators said, you must be born from above. Now, how many of you have been born once? All right, some of you are a little confused about that. That makes me real nervous. All right, let me try it again. How many of you have been born once? Yeah, very good. All right, good. But did you know you need a second birth? Yeah, you need to be born again. You say, well, what's that mean, born from above? You see, the first birth was earthly, right? Yeah. On September the 10th, 1954, I was born. On August the 25th, 1970, I was born again. Yeah. Do you have how many of you know your birth date? Again, some of you are where's my driver's license? It's somewhere here. Yeah. But do you know your spiritual birthday? Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It's just pretty much that simple. All right? Pretty much that simple. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You know why? Because there's no other way to get to heaven. There's only one way, and that's through Christ. Let's bow our heads, please. You know, the amazing thing about all of this is the fact that salvation from the Lord gives you life, eternal life. But if you reject the Lord, that gives you eternal death. So I think it's pretty clear, you know, there's one way to go, and that's through Jesus. So I want you to examine yourself right now. Just put church aside. Just put your heritage. Just shove it all to the side right now, and just picture yourself standing in a spot, and to your right is the way of life. To your right is the way to heaven. To your right is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to your left is the road that takes you to hell. Now, as you stand there and look at your option, which road are you on? Would you be honest about that? Now, if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm on the road that goes to heaven. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. If I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you can say that, would you just slip your hand up right now and say, Pastor, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. All right, now, if you could not raise your hand, I want you to know something, dear friend. There's a God in heaven who loves you, and that God wants you to get on the right road. So if you could not raise your hand with everyone else, would you raise it right now and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved and going to heaven. I know I need to be. I know that I need to be. And I'd like you to pray for me. I promise you, dear friend, I will not embarrass you. Thank you. May put your hand down. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not 100% sure. But I know I need to be born again. I know that I do. Would you lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it? Anybody else? Anybody else? How about upstairs? All right, Father in heaven, you know our needs today, and I pray that you will bless your word and encourage us in the faith. Father, I pray for this hand that said, I'm not 100% sure. Lord, I pray that today will be the day that that assurance is received. And Father, I pray that you will speak to this heart and get this matter and this issue settled once and for all. So Lord, bless your word. I don't know the spiritual condition of every person in this room, but Father, you certainly know. And I pray that you will speak to hearts today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.